Yes, Lord, we exalt you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord, over everything in the heavens and the earth, Lord. We exalt you and we thank you, Lord, and we declare that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the one, Lord. You are the great I am. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth, Lord. You are the God that came and started everything. And we say thank you, Jesus. And we exalt you, Lord, in this place, Lord. In Jesus' name. And I just, while every eye is closed, I want to extend an invitation to you. If you want to make a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you say, I want to stand for Jesus today, that you just be bold and come forward. If there's anyone that says, today I'm making a stand because I want to be with Jesus. If you want to make that bold statement, and just come forward and come and stand here. For my guests, the Lord has prepared a table for you. So if you would please come and sit. For the first 10 that came, the Lord has prepared a table for you. And he's saying, come and sit at my table because I've prepared a table for you. I just have such an excitement of what God's heart for us is. And sometimes we come to a place and he says, he gives an invitation, and those that respond get blessed. And I want to say to you, this is the Father's house. We've prepared bread for you. There's wine. Help yourself, because this is the Father's house. And he's just saying, you are blessed today. Sit at my table because I want to fellowship with you. So don't be shy. Kom, Marian, skink vir julle in. Maak breek brood en gee brood. Daar's olie, daar's sout. And you are being treated today because God wants to treat you, because this is his house and he wants people to feel welcome in the house of the Lord. I'm going to share a message with you that Pastor Fred shared with us in the beginning of this year. And he preached it in Stellenbosch as well. It's called There's No Place Like Home. So I've taken the outline of this sermon and I'm just sharing it with you today as well. So this is really something that we believe that God has given us. So what I'm starting off, just in the beginning, our church, Shofar Christian Church, the vision of our church is to plant, to raise up leaders, to disciple them, and to plant churches. This is what God has called us. Matthew 28, verse 19, 20, around about there. You can look it up. But it says, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, baptize all nations, or make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I have taught you. So for us, our focus as a church is to raise up leaders. So it will start in small group, where we have a small group. The small group grow to a certain place, and then we say this small group goes and plant another small group, because that's growth. Healthy growth goes with planting and extending, because we're growing. Because Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And this whole thing where an apple tree, if the apple tree is healthy, it will have apples. The fruit will come because there's growth, there's health. So don't get too attached to your little group and for 5 years have the same people around you. There comes a time when what you've received, because God says freely you receive, now freely give, you have to start imparting into someone else's life. And you take and you grow them to a place where they can go and take someone else and walk the road with them. And it's not for us to become like me, it's for us to become like Jesus. And I'm saying, follow me as I'm becoming like Jesus. But don't look at me. Look at Jesus. As I'm pointing to Jesus, you do the same. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. So this message is about being planted in the house of God. And it's not, I just want to say to you, go and pray about this. I'm not asking for anyone to sign up and be a volunteer or do anything. I'm just asking you to go and pray about this, because we really believe this is from God. And I was really blessed by the announcements, Nicola this morning, where she just said the same about serving. And then her husband said something about serving. And then the offering this morning said something about serving as well. So I just realized this is really God's heart. And then when we at intercession, John had a scripture in Haggai that he read the whole book of Haggai for us, but it's so from God. And then Chrissy came to me and she said, God has been speaking to her about John 10 and Haggai, the whole book. Luckily, she didn't put it all in the SMS. But this is what it says in Haggai. I'm just going to give you sections of it. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say that the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. And then he tells them all that's going wrong with them in their lives. And then he says in verse 7, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. Then verse 12, Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest and the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the high priest, and the spirit of the remnant of people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. And in the second chapter in verse 6, it says, for thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations so that the treasure of all nations shall come in. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. Go and read Haggai. It's amazing. It talks about how they came to build the temple and how God blessed them. If you read Nehemiah, Ezra, it's really what God is talking about, building the house of God, the place where God wants people to come to his house again. Now, we must understand that God the Father is the host. And he's saying to you, come to my table because I want you to come and sit with me because I want to chat with you. I want to commune with you. I want to talk intimate detail. I want to hear how is things going with you because I'm seeing on Facebook you're very excited with what I'm doing in your life. But tell me more about that. That's the heart of the Father. He says, in Psalm 23, verse 5, he says, God prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. He anoints my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So God has come to prepare a table for you. He wants to anoint you. He wants to bless you. And he's saying to you, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And you shall just want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is God's heart for his children. He wants us to come all to him. Now in Exodus 24, we see a different picture because the people in Exodus were very afraid, the fear of God. If you come into the presence of God, you just know you're going to die because God's glory. Now these people, Moses and Aaron and the 70 elders went up the mountain and there they saw God of Israel, and under their feet seemed to be a surface of brilliant blue. Now, very interesting words, lapis lazuli, as clear as the sky itself. But it was jewels that they were walking on, beautiful, beautiful jewels. And they were coming in the presence of God. And though these nobles of Israel gazed upon God, he did not destroy them. So now they're a bit thrown because we haven't been destroyed by God. In fact, they ate a covenant meal, eating and drinking in his presence. Now, I believe that drinking wasn't just drinking. It was wine. They were drinking wine and they were eating in the presence of God. And he was talking to them and telling them secrets and stuff. And he was just asking them how their day was. Psalm 27 says, one thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Psalm 122 verse 9 says, the sake of the house of the Lord, for the sake of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek your good. So for me, this is this place where if you've been serving God for a long time, there's some people are coming, and there's some people who've been in the house. And there comes a time when you've got to decide, this is the house that I want to serve in. This is where I want to be planted. I want to be planted in this house. This is where I want to be. Because in James it says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So You can't have one foot in the one area and the other foot in the other area, like the Sotis in the in the 1800s. You can't do that. You've got to decide, I'm planted either in South Africa or I want to be in the United Kingdom. But you can't be in both. There's a time that you must make a decision and say, this is where I'm called to. God has called me to this place, and this is where I'm going to serve. This is where my contribution to, not onto the church, but onto God. This is where I want to be. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Where you spend your time, that is where your heart is. And then God says, I want you to come to me because I want to entertain you. I want you to come and sit in my house. And I've spoken to many people. Most fathers and mothers are very proud when all the children come to their house because then they feel something that we've done right. When the children don't go out, but they come to our house because it's so nice in this house, and they come to that house. And this is the Father's heart. He wants us to come to His house. He doesn't want you to go, not come home and sleep in other places and not coming home. He wants His children with Him. That is the heart of the Father. So He can see them in the eyes. He not only see what they're doing on Facebook, but He can see in their eyes are they okay. Sometimes you see in someone's eyes when they're not happy, and He can ask you, hey, Liesel, what's wrong? Why are you looking so sad today? And then he can start, and then everyone turns to Liesel and sees the middle of everything. And by the end of the day, we've talked it out and we know exactly where Liesel is and we can respond. But then also God is also our guest. And He comes and God wants to feel comfortable in the house. And when we come in and someone comes and disrupt, He's disrupting God. So we don't want to disrupt the flow of what is happening because we want to, it's all about honor of God. But God, in Matthew 18, it says, whoever receives and accepts and welcomes one little child like this for my sake and in my name receives and accepts and welcomes me. So I really believe there's a place where when we accept someone in, it's like we receive Jesus and we accept Him. And we bless that person as they come in. Hebrews 13 verse 2 says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. So I really believe this thing about hospitality is that God is talking to us about. And I'm going to give you five principles there, the invitation that I'm going to talk to about as well. But just on that note, be also wise as serpents and soft as dove. Pray. Sometimes you can be set up by the enemy. So don't just not open your heart to everyone and cast your pearls before the pigs. Be wise what you do. Sometimes things will come to distract you from this because this is God's heart that everyone must come in. But sometimes people will come and step on what you want to give to them. So just be wise. Just say, Lord, I forgive and I move on. I just want you to remember that so that you don't open your house now and in 2 days or 5 days or 5 months come and says, I've been robbed and there's nothing left in my house anymore. So just remember on that side as well. But there's an invitation to have a Christ encounter, and they responded to the invitation tonight. There's preparation, the space encounter where we've prepared the table before the time. When they come in, they know this is the table that that God has prepared for them. There's the reception where we value every person who sits here because God values them. Then there's the value encounter where we talk one-on-one and we hear what is going on in their heart. And then there's that heart encounter where they respond because their heart's open to what God wants to say to them. So let's start with the invitation, the Christ encounter. Luke 14 verse 16, Jesus replied the story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready. Now, when you continue reading there, it says many had excuses and they didn't want to come. And then he said, okay, don't worry about them. Verse 23 says, and he said, go out on the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. God wants a full house. And this is, you know, in your small group as well, this is why we're saying, yes, invite people that they can come in. I want to ask you a question. Who of you believe that Christ is the answer to all the problems for you? I just want to see, okay? Who of you believe that Christ is the answer to everyone's problems in the world? I just want to see. Okay. Why wouldn't you want to invite people to meet him? If he's the answer to all the problems, why do you want to keep it to yourself? Isn't that a little bit maybe selfish? Because I really believe God's heart is for that one sheep. That he leaves the 99 and he goes and follows that one sheep until he finds it, and he rejoices for that one sheep because he wants his house to be filled. He wants all of us to be an extension of who he is, of the love that he is, of the grace that he is, of the kindness that he is, and the friendliness and all these things to bring people and show them Christ until they can meet him for themselves and surrender to Christ. I really believe that is that invitation when we bring in people. And Javi had a chat with me this morning, and he said, you know, we must actually change cell groups. When we invite people, we must have supper and just talk and get to know them and not have this thing, oh, it's cell and we do, now we're talking about God and it freaks people out completely. But invite them for supper, get to know them so that there's relationship. And then when there's relationship, then you can start talking to people about the amazing, wonderful, the Lord Jesus Christ. How great he is. Matthew 11 verse 28 says, Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. That there's a place that Jesus says to them, come with me, I want to give you rest. Then there's the preparation, the space encounter. John 14 verse 2 says, in my Father's house there are many rooms. If it was not so, would I have not told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So Jesus goes and he's preparing a place for all of us so that when we come, we will feel welcome in his house. And this is that I really believe God wants us to understand as well, that when you have small group, when we have church, when we have Bible school, when we have foundations, whenever we have a meeting, we prepare the house so that when people come, they see, they feel, wow. You know, they walk in here and they see that thing is straight there. It doesn't. I don't care about those things. Or the projector is in focus. Some people will look at that the thing that's not in focus, and it will irritate them the whole night. I'm not like that. I don't see those things. But many people are like that. So that's why we want to prepare it so that it looks nice. We actually want to get lights here and switch all the lights off just to get some atmosphere as well. We do things that when people come in here, they feel, wow, we've gone the extra mile for them, but also for God. That it's both ways, that we prepare whatever we do. There's some sort of a design and a planning that goes in there. There's excellence that comes in it. There's we articulate and convey honor and respect for a person, that when they come in, they really feel welcome. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined that what God has prepared for those who love him. So there's a place when we come in, but God prepares for you to come in because you are so special to God. You are so special to God the Father. He's so excited. So when you come in, and he wants us to present that as well. So, but there's also spiritual preparation. We really do, you know, what we try and do here so that when people come in, they really enjoy it. But there's also a spiritual preparation. Isaiah 56 verse 7 says, my house will be a house of prayer. And this is why we pray before the time. There is, you don't see it, but it's present. There is darkness. There is demonic powers that wants to disrupt what's happening in here. They don't like the fact that the gospel is being preached, that they will do anything in their power to come and steal the blessing that God has for you, because they want you to stay in darkness. They don't want you to move out of darkness into light. They want to deceive you. They want to hurt you. They want to kill you. They want to destroy you. And that's that. But we have authority in the name of Jesus Christ to cancel all those things. So when my house is in chaos and my children scream and shout and this chaos, I know there's probably massive open doors again. So I go and I pray, and Lynette and I just know we need to come into unity first. And then we come in unity and we say sorry for all the things that we said to one another, and we start praying together, and we walk through the house, and then a few hours later, all the children are loving us again, and they tell us how much they love us, and we tell them how much we love them. But there's a spiritual atmosphere that we can change by praying in the houses. There's a young, I don't know, Chrissy's not here, but Desiree, I don't know if you remember right in the beginning when when we had the service on the other side, that one time we knew there was going to be a manifestation in the church. And I said, I was so sort of excited but anxious because God's clearly spoken to us about that. And when Dion came, I said to him, Dion, there's going to be a manifestation in the service. And he said, you guys don't focus on demons, focus on Jesus. And I said, okay. And then in the worship, there was a manifestation. And it was like, okay, what do we do now? and we now I know you just go and speak to the person, you take them out. But it was so amazing that God talks to us. And how many times, like the one guy came to preach, and we all felt he was going to preach on love. And he was the most unlikely guy to preach on love ever I've ever met in my life. And we just prayed all those love scriptures, and it was just so amazing. And then he came and he preached on love. And we're like, wow, that's amazing. It's amazing how God speaks before the time because he confirms the word. I know of another young man who went into a temple in Thailand, and he came back with many bad things where he was possessed. So that's why the Muslims pray 5 times a day. They understand the spiritual atmosphere. That's why they come together 5 times in unity. There's one mosque in every town. They've got unity. They understand the principle of unity. The devil leaves them alone. But with Christians, there are many churches, many denominations. Even within the church, there's always people doing their own thing because there's a spiritual a rule that says unity commands a blessing, that God wants us to come into unity. Now, when we have prepared the place and we all prayed up and we're ready and we feel excited, when people come, we facilitate the human factor. Romans 15 verse 7 says, welcome and receive to your hearts one another. Then even as Christ has welcomed and received you for the glory of God. That we learn the art and the skill of seeing the guest. That we can learn to listen to when people speak. Because they need to speak. And sometimes when you just speak to God and you don't hear his voice, that's fine because he wants to hear you. He wants you to speak to him because he'll listen to you all the time. Sometimes when you get to understand that when you be quiet, you actually hear his voice. He actually speaks to you. God really speaks to us. But sometimes we pray so much and we don't get to calm down, so we don't hear his voice. And you say, I don't hear his voice. But sometimes listen because he is speaking to you. Who of you believe that God loves you? Can I just see a hand? Who of you believes that he likes you? We many times miss that. We don't understand how much God likes you. He's excited about who you are. There's things in your life that you think, I wish I can change that. But God understands there's demonic forces that's trying to change you. He wants you to be upset with things. And they will do everything in their power. He wants to bring shame on you. So you feel so embarrassed about things. But that's not what God sees. He sees something in you that other people maybe might not see, or you might not see. But God sees something different. He likes every one of us. And it's so important that we understand God's heart, that he wants everyone to come because he actually likes you as well. Revelation 3 verse 20 says, look, I stand at the door. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I will share a meal together as friends. He wants to have that meal with you. He wants to share and spend the time with all of us. Now, in Luke 7 verse 36, Jesus was invited by a Pharisee called Simon to go to his house. And this prostitute lady knew about this, and she knew this man wanted to embarrass Jesus. So she went there as well. It's women just have that sixth sense. They know when they know things, and then we men don't pick it up. And your wife will tell you, "Ek het jou mos gesê," and then okay, sorry, leave. But how many times men who are married here, hasn't that happened, hey Leslie? They know things that we don't know. But this woman knew something, and she went and she cried on Jesus' feet, and she took her hair and she wiped his feet, and she took this perfume on and put it on his head, and she was kissing his feet all the time. And this Pharisee said, look, how can this man be a prophet? Does he know who's touching him at the moment? And Jesus said to him, Simon, but it's one of those talkings to Simon, I've got something to tell you. And then he said, when I came in here, and he said, do you see this woman? I came into your house and you gave me no water for my feet. And she washed my feet with her tears and she dried them with her hair. You did not welcome me with a kiss, but she has not stopped kissing my feet when I came in here. You provided no olive oil for my head, but she has covered my feet with perfume. And you said that place in those cultures when anyone came into your house, there would be a slave that would wash your feet, or they would give you water so that your feet can be washed. But this man disregarded. Everyone did that. But this man regarded Jesus so that he would walk in and be embarrassed because he walked in with filthy feet. And then he didn't greet him, and he didn't give him anointing oil so that he could feel clean as he was sitting amongst him. So this man went to embarrass him, and this woman came, and she wanted to take the shame away from him. Now this morning there was a man here that I kissed. So just for the sake of the illustration, I just have to show you. I'm just glad he's wiping his mouth. So real men in the Middle East kiss another man. So see, they would kiss a man, and that was what a real man would do. Okay. So, and this man didn't kiss Jesus. Can you believe it? And so this lady just came and she kissed his feet. Then there's also the celebration, the value encounter, where in Matthew 10, verse 42, it says, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes God's messenger, because he's God's messenger, will share in his reward. And whoever welcomes a man because he is good will share in his reward. You can be sure that whoever gives even a drink of cold water to the one of the least of my followers, because he is my follower, will certainly receive a reward." That every person brings a reward. And God gets excited when we celebrate every gift of every person. That every one of you have a gift from God. Every one of us. And we mustn't look at one another and think, "Oh, I wish I was this guy or that guy." Because your gift is much bigger than that guy. But it's perfectly for you, John. There's something so special that God wants to do in your life. And Chris, completely different to John. So never compare yourself to John. There's maybe things that you like and you see, that area I want to be like. Because I can see Jesus in John. So I'm aspiring, Lord. That he's always so friendly, he's always serving. I want to be like that. Lord, what is that? But there's something different that God wants to do in your life that is different, for example, in John's life. But we, for us as Christians, that we must facilitate everyone's contribution, that we disciple, and everyone doesn't run in their own area and we run after nothing. But when we come together and everyone facilitate their gift to the glory of who God is. And I just want to say, and this is something that God has been speaking to me so much, that God wants to redeem everybody, even this guy that came in here earlier. God wants to redeem that man with everything that he has, and he will make a plan to save that guy so that his life can be completely transformed. Then we must never give up hope on everyone and just pray so much that God can, that you protect your heart and not get upset when things happen against you, because it's not the person, there's things that stands behind the person, that we don't get upset with these things. Because I just want to say that again, it's like the devil wants to draw you into darkness. You know, when you catch a fish, there's a hook. What do you put on a hook so that you can catch a fish? Why? That's like sin. Sin is bait. It wants to catch you, to draw you in. So those things will look so nice. You think, yes, oh man, that's so amazing. But if it's against the word of God, it's bait. And there's a hook behind it. And when you bite it, you're going to be caught and you're going to be drawn into hell. And you're going to be put in the bucket, a socket also. So that is that we understand sin, the result of sin is death. I just want to put it in on the side there. But 1 Timothy 2 verse 3 says, "It's good and it's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth." All people. Now, the last one is the presentation, the heart encounter, where we sit around a table and we deploy the power of joy. There's this, the joy of the Lord is our strength, where God says in Nehemiah 12, where they built the wall around and they were celebrating and they offered great sacrifices that day and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. And the women and children also rejoiced, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. Isn't that amazing? Just that joy of the Lord that is heard far away. Psalm 16 verse 11 says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Then Jesus also wants to come and engage your heart. You sit around the table and he says, when these men went fishing and he came to them to restore Peter, he said, come and have breakfast with me. They came and they sit. And Jesus took the bread and he gave it to them and he gave them fish. And when they had finished their breakfast, he said, Simon Peter, Rian, do you love me? And he said, yes. And he said, feed my sheep. He said, Simon Peter, do you love me? And he said, yes, feed my sheep. And he was crying because God had spoken into his heart. There was something that Rian knew that the rest of the guys didn't know, but Jesus knew. And he spoke to him in that area and he restored him right there. And Rian went and he went to go and feed the sheep of God. It's something, that heart encounter that happens because he comes to the presence of Christ. And, you know, there's a Tani that always comes to our church. They're quite new, but they were pastors and that. And she just said, you know, people don't realize, or many people just are very lukewarm because they haven't come into the presence of God. They haven't met Christ. If you've met Christ, your life changes completely. And if you want to meet him, you ask him. And he says, whoever asks, I will come. And then there's the place where God wants to engage and anoint your head. He wants to stimulate you. He prepares a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. He honors me and he anoints my head with oil. My cup overflow with blessings. Surely your goodness and your unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. And I will live in the house of the Lord forever. So I just, on this table that we have, there's salt. And that God is giving us an example. And he's saying, I want you to be salt, to influence where you are, to be the influence, that you influence people wherever you are. And it starts by praying. You start praying for people who is around you because you want them to meet Jesus because he is the answer to all our problems. And then there's the light that we know we set an example. Every action that you do, people will look at what you're doing and they will say, kijk wat doen nou Christen alweer. Everything that we do, we set an example. Jesus came for us to be the light, to be an example unto the world. But you cannot fake this. You cannot fake being an example. You can only be an example if you're in Christ. And this is why we say, come to me, you, those who are heavy laden. And then in Genesis 14, and I'm going to ask the ushers if you can take out the communion, please. Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God, the God Most High. I really believe Melchizedek was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And this was the first time that they had a communion. If you just read in Hebrews as well, it talks about the high priest. Because Melchizedek was the king of Salem, the king of Jerusalem. But he was also the high priest. Jesus was the king and he's also the high priest for all of us. This is why I believe it is him in Genesis 14 already, the breaking bread and the drinking wine. And then there's the oil. And the anointing oil, and we're going to anoint people who wants to be anointed by God. The anointing will destroy the yoke. On the table, there's anointing oil, and the anointing will destroy the yoke of your life. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Who comes to me shall never hunger, and who believes in me shall never thirst. And then we have the wine, and the wine says that if we drink this blood and abide in him, he will be in us. So God has prepared a table for us. Let everyone get. Let's just pray. Oh, Father, we just want to thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can be excited, Lord, for knowing that you are a good God, Lord, and that you desire, Lord, your house to be filled, Lord. That you want your children to come to you, Lord. This is the Father's heart that you're saying to us, you are my children, I want you to come to me because in my presence you'll be changed. I don't want you to run around in the dark and be alone and cry at night. I want to come to into your bed and hold you until you stop crying, until you settle down and you are relaxed because I'm your Father and I care about every thought of who you are. Lord, I thank you, Lord, just for that, for the fact that you are so precious, Lord, that the fact that you love us so much, Lord, that your heart is for your children, Lord, and that your heart is for your house, that you want your children to come into your house, Lord, that you want to build the house, Lord, because you're a father and you care for the children, Lord. But Father, thank you, Lord, that every one of us, Lord, we're not only your children, Lord, but we're also heirs to your throne, Lord. There's an inheritance that you've given all of us, Lord. In that place, where we come into your house, Lord, and we just come and say, Lord, thank you that we can speak a blessing over every person in this place today, Lord. That you come to bless them, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, that you will raise them up, Lord. That you will establish them, Lord God, as fathers and mothers, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, thank you, Lord, that we will not be standing on our own anymore, Lord, but we will stand as a family, Lord, because you've called us to be a family. Lord, thank you that you value every contribution of every person, Lord, and that you want to grow them and extend them and release them, Lord, to do mighty works in your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you will anoint every one of your children, Lord, to stand in that place, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we are royalty, Lord, that we are kings and priests before you, Lord. And Father, that where we walk, we can understand and know, Lord, that we are the anointed ones, Lord, because we have put our faith and our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the blood. Thank you, Lord, that we can plead the blood of Jesus over every person who is here, Lord, over their families, Lord, over their houses, over where they work, Lord, where they go, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God, that you've given us the word, Lord, so that we can learn from you and grow closer to you, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, that you have given us your name, Lord, that by asking in your name, you'll give us everything, Lord. And Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit, that you've given us to be a helper, Lord, to help us in every way, everywhere we go, Lord, that you've given us your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, for a new place, Lord, of standing in your word, of walking in the anointing of who you are, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your heart. Thank you, Lord, that you're doing a new thing in us as a church, Lord. And Lord, in the scripture that you've given us, that as everyone came to work on the house of the Lord, that everyone came together, and that you're saying the latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former. And that in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you're saying the silver is yours and the gold is yours, Lord. That we can know, that we can call in those things, Lord, because it belongs to you. Because you want your kingdom to be expanded, to change the world, Lord. You've not asked us to come and be Christians to sit in the pews, Lord. But you've asked us to be disciples that will influence and change and transform the world, Lord. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, just for that anointing on us as a church, Lord, that you've come and brought us here, Lord. And Father, even now, I just pray, Lord, for the sheep to come. And if these people that really believe this is not where they need to be, that you will release them, Lord, that they will not feel condemned or guilty or anything, Lord, but they are blessed to go to another church, Lord. But if they are here, that they understand this is where I am called to be, that all Christians go where they've been called to be and not where they think the tea or the coffee is better, Lord, or the worship is better or whatever the case might be, Lord. That all of us go to worship you there where you have called us, Lord, to make a difference in the place that you have called us to be, Lord, because you are a great God, Lord, and you love all churches, Lord, but you love different kinds of churches, Lord, and all these churches are from you. It's all part of the bride of Christ, Lord. All these different churches, Lord. You don't look at the one church and say, that's better or worse than the other one. They're all your churches, Lord. And for us, that we stand in that place where you've called us to be, Lord. That we bring our contribution in the body and in the house that you have called us to be, Father. Lord, I just pray for that shift, Lord, in our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. That we understand who we are. And that we are yours, and that you have a calling on each one of us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I just want to ask you to take the bread, and we just thank you, Lord, that we can be part of the body of Christ. Let's eat. And yes, Lord, we thank you for the wine, Lord, that we can understand what happened 2,000 years on the cross, Lord. That we understand that you've overcome sin, you've overcome disease, you've overcome curses, you've overcome even death, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we will learn how to apply the blood of Jesus in our lives, Lord. That we will stand in the authority of Christ, Lord. That we are overcomers in Christ, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that there's nothing on earth, nothing in the heavens, nothing underneath in the sea, Lord, that can separate us. There's no demonic force, Lord, that can separate us from you and the love that you have for us, Lord. Let's drink. Yes, Father, we just want to extend the invitation. If there's anyone now that feels I need prayer, and for you guys we just want to anoint you. I'm just going to ask the facilitators to come forward that we just trust God for a prayer, a prophetic prayer over your lives, because God wants to bless you for direction. And if there's anyone else that feel I just want to respond, I just want to pray, I'm welcoming to come forward. We bless you and we pray that you'll this week will be blessed. Good things will happen with you, and that God's hand will be upon you wherever you go. And that those things that you stand in faith for, God will come through. There's just this man, this morning we heard of his testimony, and they've been really suffering for a long, long time. And they've been serving faithfully. And Friday morning when we prayed together as elders, the one guy, and he just said, I can't believe they're so faithful. Why aren't God coming through for them? And then we heard just after that, a massive amount of money, these contracts that came through like one after the other, just a massive amount of things that is pouring into them. And it's just, that's how God does it. He doesn't do it spits. When he does it like huge. And this man is completely in a different place now, and he's joking with us, ons ryk mense dink anders. But it was just so blessed to hear him say that, because where he came from, and then in a weekend God turned everything around. Where they had nothing for months, and now suddenly they've got all this amazing blessing. And I really believe that that's where God wants to bring us, where when we are faithful, God just comes through in that areas that you have been standing in faith for him, and God comes through and he comes and blesses us, because that is his heart. That's the heart of the Father. So I speak a blessing over you. Enjoy the week. May God bless you. And I pray that God's blessing will be upon you, and God's favor will be upon you.